Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You have a good week?
Pretty good.
Awesome, awesome. I hear you. My week was quite interesting, and you know, I would say the most joyous time was talking with a buddy of mine at work who gotten himself into some trouble, and he's has lost his job and went to jail.
You were the right guy to talk to.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there was one. I mean, it was just awesome to share. And I gave him the opportunity to come and fellowship with us. I have no call, but I'm just glad that I had the opportunity to share him the truth. And you know, as we were talking, it was just like, Lord is giving me, you know, you feel like this, don't you? You feel like this, don't you? You feel like, yep. So I know I've been there. And the only way out, the only reason, you know, a lot of people, I look around, a lot of people are looking for some kind of success. They can't find it. I remember being somebody who's just so trapped by, ruled by this flesh that I could not do anything. I couldn't do anything. You know, stuck in Romans 7. I mean, I just couldn't do anything. It was just, man, I was falling on my face every turn. I was not a successful guy. I lost jobs left and right. I was selfish. I ended up alone by myself a lot of times doing a bunch of dope. Because of how I was, and I was trapped in the snare of the enemy. And the only way out was Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the only reason why I'm standing here today is because of Jesus Christ. I've had, you know, it's a scary thing, but at two people that I've known, one I've known for a long time out Mount Pleasant, died in a car wreck this past week. Another guy that I knew from middle school was 30, and he was 33. Another guy I knew in middle school was 30 years old and died of some kind of illness. Nice guy. I remember him. He was so nice to me in middle school. And I'm looking at that, and it's just the time is short, man. You don't know when it's going to come to an end for you. And if you don't know the Lord, that is not a good place to be at. And when I was sharing with this guy, I mean, he wanted all this stuff to happen for him. He was tired of losing jobs. He was tired of, you know, the only thing consistent he had in his life was his job. And that got, you know, and he lost that because of his own choosing, because of the choices of his own actions. However, I told him, I said, I am just like you. The only difference, the only reason why I can sustain a job, the only different reason why I can be a father and I can be a husband is because of Jesus Christ. And that's what you're missing. That's what you're missing. Without him, I have nothing. Look, I have nothing but him. Let me put it that way. Is the mic out? Okay. It's on? Okay. You know, so it's just an awakening. You know, it's just awakening. When I found out, and I just found out about these acquaintances or friends that I knew that had died. And it got me thinking. You know, it's a battle out here. And we're to share our testimony with people and witness to them. You know, David Kinesic, the one that died from a sickness at 30 years old. He was the same age as I was. And I remember him trying to become my Facebook friend. And I just kind of, I didn't mess with it. But, you know, that could have been an opportunity for me to witness to him. And I missed that. You know. So it's just very important to look out for those opportunities that you have. Now sharing with that, I kind of want to go to John this morning. The Gospel of... Yeah.
You get cold, Paul.
And this is kind of, you know, this is kind of just rings a bell for me in John 15, the Gospel of John 15. You know, because as I was talking with this friend of mine who I care for, he was a great employee when he was there. He was a great employee. He backed you up 100%. And I tell you, and if he turned that kind of loyalty to the Lord, that man would become mighty in the Lord. And the place that the Lord is showing me was that I have nothing without the Lord. I can do nothing without the Lord. And he frankly expressed that in here in 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So first of all, if you're not bearing fruit, let's tap into that vine, because you're not tapped into Jesus if you're not bearing fruit. Secondly, if you are bearing fruit, he's going to purge you. Which, let me tell you, that's getting rid of the garbage and the idols and the things that become before him, and he starts to take that away from you. Or lets you shows it to you so you can be shed of it. And sometimes it doesn't feel good. A lot, and in fact, a lot of times it doesn't feel good. But praise God, we need that to move forward and to grow. If not, we'll get choked out. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And I just want to stop there. Because that's what I was just, man, that's what I was drilling into him. I said, look, let me tell you something. I struggle with the same struggles you do. Brother, I struggle with the same things. And I know you want to hold down a job. I know you want to have some kind of normality in your life. Something that is consistent. Something that is constant. But you're not going to find it out there in that world, Mike. You're not going to find it in this flesh. You're trapped by the snare of this flesh. But Jesus has set you free. He's consistent. He doesn't change. He does not move. We do. And he's right there for the taking. Think about it. The God who created heaven and earth and made and created this whole world that we abide on, you can have a relationship with. And all you have to do is get on your knees and ask him and submit and say, Lord, I don't want to do it my way. My way sucks. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the light. And I want that. I want life. I don't want death. You can have that. You know why? Because he came down off his throne to die for you. And took the whole sin of the world. He took all of it. All of it. And he did that for you. And he loves you. And you can trust him more than anything else. More than anything else. Don't put your faith in this world. Don't put your faith in these jobs. Don't put your faith in these other things. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's where it needs to be at. That's what you need to be relying on. And that's all you need. Without him, I have nothing. Without him, I am nothing. It talks about in Jeremiah, the heart of a man is one of the most deceitful things. We are deceitful. Our will is by nature, we're terrible. Most deceitful things, the scripture says. But by Jesus Christ, only by Jesus Christ, can you have that peace with God, that love. takes me to Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, because mine is one of the most deceitful things. And only by you can I have a clean heart or a pure heart. Is relying on you and your righteousness and what you've done. Only God can do that. And that's it. So if there's areas in your life that's a struggle, if there's places where you just can't seem to break through, take them to the Lord. He will set you free from them. He will purge you from that. And you can be free to serve Him. And it might be, it's an everyday thing. You take this wheel off and you throw it down. It says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And He's right there and He set the way for you. And He's right there because He's already done it. And all you have to do is walk in that victory. He's already done the work, folks. We just choose to walk in it. With that, wrap it up, Paul.
Ooh, a whole bunch of smiling faces. You know, it's not so much what to say in response to that. It's which place to go to. There's so much good stuff. And if I could do it all, I would. I don't think we have the time nor the stamina to do that, however. The thing that first crossed my mind was, especially when it comes to people we know, especially young people we know, dying. It's, Lord, that should have been me, he and I. We did the same things. We have done the same things. And if it was me, you'd be perfectly righteous. But, you know, that may have a presumptive nature of the character of this God that we serve that is flawed. It may be First John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There was even the possibility of the hint of evil intent or motives in this guy, this person, somebody we know dying. We don't know. It's presumptive to know. Where they are, where they were, don't know. Don't know. Right? To assume that, oh, he must have really screwed up is just as, you know, as bad as the Pharisees assuming that, well, if you're rich, God is blessing you. Because you don't know. Unless you were there, and then you don't really know, unless apart from some revelation, direct revelation, where the Lord has told you this thing is the case. But we're presumptive, and we talk about things as though we were there that we don't know anything about. And at that point, I really want to go to Colossians. And I may not. I may go to Philippians. Colossians, the thing is, the gospel is so concisely, it is so, and over again hammered, and how it works, the workings of it, the operation of God, and the revelation of his character, and his awesome, awesome, little short four chapter book, a quick read. We have let's start reading chapter 2, Philippians. There be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, with whom?
With Jesus Christ.
With him. With Paul. The one mind is the mind of Christ. The same love. The being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. That's so not like us.
Yep.
That's not what we're taught. That's not what they've been hammering in school for the last 40 years.
Self-esteem.
Yeah. Self-esteem's not based on your accomplishment. It's based on a arbitrary assessment of your worth relative to other people.
Yep.
Keeps you boxed in the shadows. There's nothing you can nail down. There's no accomplishment. There's nothing you can hit and say, okay, this was real. There's nothing there. It's just flailing in the air. But somebody does the 40 in 4.2. That's something. Somewhere is a record of that. Somebody's written it down. That's an accomplishment. That's not something that is, well, I could if I really tried. That's self-esteem. And that's not worth anything. I tried, I did. That's different. And there's a certain place where you walk with the Lord where you get boldness because of understanding his character and understanding your nature. The I and that schlub over there are the same. Brings me into lowliness of mind and esteeming others better than myself, because I know where I am. The only thing that has changed anything about me is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not because I say better things or I do things better, or I'm more consistent in the way I read the word, or I hang out with a better class of people. Gosh knows it's not that.
We love you.
It is. It is nothing that I bring to the table. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let's take care. Take care of one another. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The thing that kept creating friction with the Pharisees was his claim to be God. And he was the only one who thought it wasn't robbery for him to claim that, because he knew where he was from. That's not self-esteem. That's confidence. Confidence in the Father. But he came down out of heaven off his throne and made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. In other words, he could die because he didn't have that problem in his first estate sitting in heaven on the throne. Not a problem. He wasn't going to die there. Here, as a servant, he could die. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself. There's not an ABC process to that. It's I simply choose to be humble. Which means I esteem everybody as being better than myself. Even those drivers that are doing 25 miles an hour and 55. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Be servant, you got to be willing to pay the potential dues of a servant. And it cost Jesus everything because he came here to serve us. And the only way he could serve us was to cover us with his blood. Does Isaiah say, like a sheep unto slaughter? Knowing what his end was, did it anyway. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Let him hang on a cross. What? Well, he also raised him from the dead. And given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You're going to do it. The question is when. You're going to do it now and humble yourself and turn to serve him? Or are you going to do it judgment when it won't do you any good? Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye are ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So he calls you light here, and Jesus says you are salt. These change the character of the stuff around them. Light removes darkness. Salt holds back corruption. Holding forth the word of life does both. And he gives those who minister that word of life reason to rejoice. Makes us want to grin from ear to ear when we see somebody get it. And it makes us feel proud, makes us pleased, makes us happy.
Humbles us,
absolutely. And Paul's position, especially as regarding the idea of laboring in vain, is, yea, and even if I, it doesn't say that, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Even if all I did is getting wasted on the altar as a sacrifice to me, the Lord is still good.
Amen.
And it was that you may know Jesus Christ. That in the end, which we're not going to talk about here, he counts everything else as dung, that I may know him. 3 verse 10. That I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This is not the reason why these are words of life, and this is encouragement to us. It's not how we are naturally. And the truth is, more reason to be in Colossians, put off the old man and put on the new. And set your affections on things that are above. These are choices you have to make. You don't get, God's not going to just fix all the stuff that's wrong with you. You have to determine to seek him. Seek to know him. This idea that I may know him is the thing that changes the whole game. It's a different game when you understand that because I can know him, that bondage to the stuff, the body of this death that Philip was talking about, it's done with. The minute you can turn and choose to know him, then you have been loosed from the bondage of the body of this death and the consequences therein. I may not get through the day without going over there. In Colossians, the introduction in chapter 1, I want to pick up in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I don't know about you, but if somebody's going to pray for me, that's something I want to have.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
And it's doable. It's something. What does James say? Liberally. Ask for wisdom. Any man asks for wisdom, Lord will grant it liberally. This is something he wants you to know. He wants you to have knowledge of him. How I work. What are my ways? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in my truth and what? Teach me. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You are able to please the Lord. That's an encouragement, because many days it never looks like I'm ever going to get there. But it can be done when you are walking in this mind that he desires you to have knowledge of him and all spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is how our walk's supposed to look like. But it doesn't get there unless you have a proper understanding of who he is and where you are in the picture. And the truth of the matter is, you can't love God and love one another. The summation of the law and the prophets, without knowing that you have to choose to be lower than everybody else. And to ask, to pray to receive knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and he grants those prayers. And then you can take that out and share it with other people, because that's what he does that for. The only way you're going to do that is if you esteem them as worth more than yourself. Otherwise, you just want to keep it and go hide it somewhere. I have a special knowledge, and I'm better than everybody else. That's not why he called. That's not why he shares that stuff with you. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Again, these things do not appear to be stuff that makes you joyful. I want to change your attitude. The stuff you value and esteem is not the right stuff. And you're going to need patience and long-suffering, because that's a process that doesn't always feel good. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has given us, he's made us fit through the blood of Jesus Christ to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. We who had nothing, who bring nothing to the table, because he is good and first loved us and sent his son to bleed on the cross for our sins and our... It seems like we live and breathe to separate ourselves from God and one another. He changed all that. To give us, make us partakers of the inheritance of the saints, which is, does Colossians say, Christ in you, the hope of glory? It's good for here and now, and even better for there and then. Right? Because you can participate in the there and then because of the here and now. Christ in me, the hope of glory. in whom we have redemption through the blood, even for the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. In case you weren't clear on who we're talking about and what it is he carries with him, this is him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. What we've been talking about here recently, that you have the construct of the atomic structure is you have electrons on the outer, you have protons on the inner, protons and neutrons on the inner, and what holds all that stuff together? Right, electrons want to fly that way, and the protons that are all together in the nucleus, they shouldn't want to stay together there either. Everything is held together because Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. And by him all things consist. The Greek there literally is hold together. They hold together by him. The hand of God keeps all this stuff together. And, of course, mankind keeps, like, trying to lay stuff up in stores for the day when he takes the hand off. Nah, it's not going to work. When he pulls that hand off, it's all gone. And he is the head of the body, the church. The body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church, not the bride, the church. He's the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. All the fullness of his character should dwell in him. And that in him is light, and there's no darkness at all. We have a tendency to project our own personality out onto other people. The evil thoughts, the evil motives, the evil intentions, we're guilty of. So we say, oh, so-and-so is the same way. Not so here. There is no evil intent. There is no darkness. There is no evil motive. He is light. And what does James says? All good things come down from the Father of lights. You have to... If you have any other understanding of the God you're dealing with, he is righteous. He is good. He loves you. And until you get your arms wrapped around that, his character and his nature, and anything else is something you're projecting on him that's in here. When you get past that hump, it changes how you perceive all the rest of the word and all the rest of the stuff that he has done in the Gospels, the way he operates. It changes everything. There's no evil in there. There's no projection. There's extending grace and mercy and love that they may know him and the power of his resurrection and have life and have it more abundantly. It's all about Jesus, man. It's not all about us. It's all about how good he is. It's all about how righteous he is. and how even if we were the ones that got thrown out of that truck in the woods and died, he's still righteous. Still righteous. Well, Lord, help us to get the word to everybody before their end, before they meet their end, before we meet ours.
Amen.
That they may win Christ. That we may win Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of those who've gone before us. Lord, help it to change our heart. Lord, make our hearts clean. Create in us a clean heart. Change our attitude and our perspective about how good you are. So that when people come around and hold us to account for the knowledge that we've received, we stand ready to give account. We want to be faithful servants, Lord, and honor and please you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.